The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Speaking in tongues has come into popularity in some churches over the past 100 or so years. When reading about speaking of tongues in the Bible, were these always known languages? And how is that different from some of the tongue speaking that goes on today? Well, thank you for joining us on this episode of Grace in Focus. It is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. If you'd like to know more about us, find us at faithalone.org or find out more about our free online seminary at gesseminary.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Okay, hi Bob. Today we got a question from Elizabeth here, and she's asking about whether her understanding of speaking in tongues is that speaking a known language, and then when mature Christians say they speak in tongues, who or what is directing them?
Okay, so first question, is it speaking a known language? It is speaking a language. Mm-hmm. It may or may not be known, mm-hmm. but it is a language. Now, in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Jewish believers were speaking in the languages of people from around the Roman Empire, and the people heard them and understood what they were saying because they were speaking in their language. So those were known languages. Right. You know, Paul does speak of the tongues of men and of angels.
Yeah.
Do angels have a separate language? It seems that's what Paul is saying. Some people mm-hmm. have interpreted that to mean that this is some kind of ecstatic speech. There was a study done of 10,000 tongue speakers many years ago. I remember I heard this when I first went on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ in 1974. So what is that, 50 years ago now?
Right.
And this study of 10,000 tongue speakers, a linguist got recordings of 10,000 tongue speakers to see how many of them were speaking in a language and how many of them were simply giving gibberish.
Yeah.
And 10,000, all of them were gibberish.
Okay.
It would be something like mumbo gumbo, gumbo mumbo, mumbo mumbo gumbo. Or one of the jokes I heard is, yeah. I can tie my bow tie. Can you tie my bow tie? If you say that real fast, yeah. It sounds like, I can tie my bow tie. Can you tie my bow tie? She came in a Honda. She left in a Buick. You know, something yeah, yeah. like that. Every example in the Bible of tongue speaking is a language.
Mm-hmm.
There is no such thing as a non-language. In fact, Paul says that people couldn't speak in tongues in church unless you had an interpreter. And now I've heard people say, well, the interpretation, you're not actually interpreting it.
Yeah.
What you're doing is you're just giving the sense of it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I had a friend who was taught at a Christian college he was going to that, you know, someone might give a 1 minute tongues message and you can give a 10 second interpretation, but it's not really interpretation. You're just letting the Spirit tell you to say something biblical.
Okay.
And they could speak for 10 seconds and you might go on for a minute because you're not translating, mm-hmm. you're not interpreting, what you're doing is you're just giving the sense of something. Well, glossa means tongue or language, and it's always a language. And that gift was one of the sign gifts, and it evidently ceased at the end of the apostolic era. We know that toward the end of that all of the gifts, sign gifts, were ceasing. Like Paul says, I left Trophimus sick at Miletus. Well, why would he do that since Paul could heal the sick and raise the dead?
Mm-hmm.
And Trophimus was, well, because at this point the gifts were starting to pass. And in church history, we don't find people speaking in tongues,
yeah.
although some people dispute this, but I don't believe we find it. Until, like, the Azusa Street Revival in 1908, I believe it was, and that wasn't tongues. That was, again, gibberish. Felicitas Goodman did a study. She was an anthropologist answering the second part of Elizabeth's question. Didn't she say, what's the source of this?
Yeah, so when mature Christians say they speak in tongues, who or what is directing them?
Yeah, I believe what is directing them is they go into a trance.
Mm-hmm.
Felicitas Goodman studied tribal people in Mexico and Central and South America, and she found that when they spoke in tongues, they would go into a trance state.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came out of it, they were exhausted, and they would go through a time of rest and restoration. And it seems that when people speak in tongues— It's something that anyone can do. In fact, it's not just Christian religions that speak in tongues. For example, the cult, the Way International, I believe they speak in tongues. I believe there are Mormons who speak in tongues. I believe pretty much anybody, if you just open up your consciousness and can relax your stomach, you can begin to, you know, speak gibberish and it'll just start rolling out. I remember seeing the movie Marjo about Marjo Gortner, and he had been a charismatic evangelist from ages 4 to 14, and then it kind of fell out of favor, and he went to college, graduated from college, and decided to make a documentary. So he made a documentary called Marjo, and he was preaching on the old circuit, and at one point he says, "Tonight, guys, I'm going to speak in tongues, just get ready for it." And he's in his message, and all of a sudden he's, you know, "I can tie my bow tie, can you tie my bow tie?" And he goes into that kind of a thing. And it wasn't anything spiritual. I don't think this is Satan controlling these people or God controlling these people. I think it's just a natural ability that human beings have to speak gibberish.
I guess in some cases they're not even going in a trance. They're just imitating what they've heard before. And did you have experience where you said you were speaking in Koinonia Greek and someone said, "Oh, you're speaking in tongues"?
Well, now, I had a friend who went to a charismatic service and he gave John 3:16 in Greek and someone interpreted it and he said, "No, no, that's not what I said." And the same person gave part of a psalm in Hebrew and it was interpreted and it wasn't what they said. So that's one simple way to prove that whatever these interpretations are not accurate. And yeah, there are examples of that, but it seems to me there's a lot of hooey that goes on today in the name of Christianity. And I would suggest if you hear someone that claims to speak in tongues, see if there's actual language there. If it sounds like gibberish, that's what it is.
And then if there's some interpretation, you want to test it against the Word of God. And if it's contrary to the Word of God, you know that message is not from God.
But I wouldn't attribute this to demons or to Satan. I would just say that humans have an ability to do this.
I mean, it's part of our ability to speak, I would guess. All right. Very good.
The Grace Evangelical Society Seminary, GES Seminary, is getting ready for the 2024 fall semester. You can come study with us, and we are now ready to receive your application. GESseminary.org is where you apply, and if you want to begin study this fall, we must receive your application by July 29th. That's GESseminary.org. Classroom size is limited, so let us hear from you soon. Apply now. GESseminary.org.
Well, let's move on to the second question. We have a question here from Matt, and I guess he's observing this website, gotquestions.org. He's unfortunately saying that he feels it's shifting to a more anti-free grace position because under the heading of "What is Lordship Salvation?", it references John MacArthur's book, The Gospel According to Jesus. And although they mention Ryrie and Hodges as proponents of free grace theology, they don't list a single book from Ryrie or from Zane Hodges. So, yeah, I don't know if you have any comments. I don't know. I've been following questions.
Okay, so I do a lot of blogs. I blog 2 to 3 times a week, and I find it helpful. GotQuestions.org often comes up when I punch in a particular subject. I'll find their article, and I found their articles very helpful. So I quote them a lot. Now, I did notice when I looked at what they said about Lordship Salvation, I don't know if I was in the same article Matt's talking about here, but I did notice that they were pro-Lordship Salvation. I've seen that. I don't remember seeing their article on Free Grace or Zane Hodges or Ryrie, but it wouldn't surprise me that they're coming from that perspective. They appear to be Calvinists who have a lordship, maybe a soft lordship position. But that doesn't mean I don't use them and I wouldn't recommend them. I think they're very helpful on many, many subjects. It is sad that they're taking a Lordship Salvation perspective, but it's not surprising. I mean, most of my commentaries on my shelves are written by people who hold the Lordship Salvation. And if they make good observations about the text, they can be helpful. I don't buy their conclusions most of the time, but I do find their observations helpful.
So what would you suggest for someone, you know, when they use these resources, how should they approach them?
Good question. Use them critically. And by critically, I mean You accept that which is correct and you reject that which is incorrect. And you need to do that in your local church. Mm-hmm. If you think your pastor is inspired, you've got something coming. Mm-hmm. If you hear me on this radio program and you think that everything I say is inspired and it's all correct, then you better look up Fat Chance in the dictionary, because not everything I say is correct. I'm trying, but the truth is, nobody is perfect.
Yeah, and outside of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
What you just said actually also applies to Zane Hodges, because I know some of our critics say, you guys just accept everything Zane Hodges says is true.
No. No, you don't accept what anybody other than the Lord Jesus or God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. Aside from that, we don't have absolute truth. Absolute truth is found in Scripture. And so, if I'm reading a verse of Scripture and I'm reading it correctly, that's right. But once I start interpreting it, you need to be like the Bereans of Acts 17:11 and search the Scriptures to see if these things are so. Basically, when you're trying to find a good church, you're not trying to find a church that every single word that's said from the pulpit or from the Sunday school classes is correct. You're trying to find a church where the people teach the Word of God accurately and that most of what they say is right on. And occasionally they're going to speculate and they'll tell you, hey, this is speculation. I speculate about things and I'll tell people, hey, I'm speculating here. I think I'm right, but I am speculating. It seems to me that we can be certain about the fundamentals of the faith.
Yeah, and you want a church, hopefully, it is correct on the saving message and on,
that's right,
on assurance, on eternal life, eternal security.
Exactly. Yeah. The inerrancy of Scripture, justification by faith alone, the deity of Christ, substitutionary atonement that Jesus provided when he shed his blood for us, that sanctification is by having our minds renewed via Scripture, he transforms us. That's what you're looking for. You're not looking for absolute perfection in everything said or done. So, gutquestions.org, not perfect. I like a lot of what I see there. I would recommend them for most things, but be discerning.
Yeah.
So there's the key word in answer your question. Use discernment.
Yeah.
Don't use anything, including this show, including our commentaries, our books. Don't use any of it to say, okay, this is equal to Scripture. Once you do that, you're in a cult.
All right. Always be discerning and always test against the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. And in the meantime,
we'll keep grace
in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the next episode, we will be talking about transdispensationalism, its relation to dispensationalism, and we want you to join us. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.